Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Very pleased to be joined by one of the best in the business, Heather Dinich. Heather, welcome back. It's so great to hear you again.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on. How are things going up there?
Yeah, so far, so good. Hanging in there. Okay.
Hanging in there.
All right. So the first playoff snapshot is out. What were your thoughts as to how it played out for the first one?
Well, the first three didn't surprise me. I thought Cincinnati was going to sneak in at number four because of their win against Notre Dame. But, you know, I also understand that the selection committee has a very high bar for strength of schedule. And in their eyes, the Bearcats didn't pass it. And they didn't pass the eye test each of the past 2 weeks in road wins against Navy and Tulane. So there were a lot of factors that went into that. I'm a little bit surprised that Oregon came in at number four, but I did expect them to honor that head-to-head win over the Buckeyes.
And they did. And not only did they win it head-to-head, but they did it without Thibodeau in the lineup, which was probably a factor as well into the thought process of that. What was your thought on that?
For sure, and it wasn't just that game without Thibodeau. I mean, Oregon has been decimated by injuries this year, and they continue to find ways to win. You know, I mean, and I understand maybe people on the East Coast haven't been paying close attention to them. You see the score against Cal, you see close game against UCLA. I was at that game, but you know, in the loss to Stanford, their offensive coordinator Joe Moorhead, he wasn't there, calling plays for health reasons. But those are things that the committee knows they pay attention to. I mean, when I was at the UCLA game, their starting center, Alex Forsythe, missed that game. He was warming up. He was supposed to go in, but it was the fourth game he missed with back spasms. So all of these little things are part of the discussion in that committee meeting room. And along with strength of schedule and all those pieces of the puzzle, you can't just look at one team and evaluate it and plop it in the lineup. It has to be done in consideration with all those other teams around it.
So let me ask about Alabama for a moment. Now, look, do I think Alabama's very good? Of course I do. But their primary wins to this point are Mississippi and Mississippi State. Their loss is at Texas A&M, who, by the way, was also like Tulane against Cincinnati, using their backup quarterback. We're supposed to look at 2021 Alabama, but is the brand name sometimes getting them ranked higher than maybe at the moment? I'm not saying at the end, but at the moment, they should be ranked.
Well, maybe subconsciously it is. You know, I can't get into the minds of all 13 of those selection committee members to answer that question, but I can tell you that clearly the eye test mattered. And yes, you're right. And that, look, I've watched Alabama all season long, and there's games that they've struggled in as well and haven't looked great, and questions on defense, etc. But since that loss to Texas A&M, they've outscored their opponents 101-33, and they're in the top five in both offensive and defensive efficiency right now. And so when you put that all together, that's part of the committee's reasoning for having them up there. But that being said, because they're right there at number two, I think it also leaves the door cracked open just a little bit that if they lose a close game to Georgia and there's some chaos elsewhere, I wouldn't entirely rule out the possibility of a two-loss Bama getting into this thing, depending on what happens everywhere else.
Right, exactly. I think that door is open if they get to that point. I think you're exactly right. Have you watched Georgia in person? And if you have, what really jumped out at you?
I have not seen Georgia in person yet this year. I don't know if I will until the national championship.
Well, there's nobody left to watch. There's nobody left to watch except the SEC championship game. Charleston Southern may be out. Tennessee. I mean, really.
Georgia, to me, is the most complete team in the country, and I think that sort of mirrors what we were talking about with Alabama on offense and defense statistically, but they're so good that it doesn't even matter who their starting quarterback is. You know, Daniels or Bennett in the lineup, they're finding ways to win, and they're looking good in the process, but man, their defense is NFL. It's an NFL defense. It's unbelievable what it's doing at historic levels for those guys. And Look, we're talking about a two-loss Alabama. I wouldn't pick them to beat Georgia right now. I wouldn't. And no. I think that in my projections for the midseason, I had Georgia and Ohio State playing for the national title.
Obviously, I just saw Ohio State in person. Have you seen them yet in person?
Well, I saw them at the Oregon game, which is a totally different Ohio State than the one that you saw, right?
Well, but it's also a different Oregon team because Verdrell played in that game and had over 200, played great, but he's out for the year now.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. But, you know, here's the thing. I had Ohio State in my top four last week, but I dropped them after the Penn State game because in my eyes I was watching them. I'm like, okay, man, they are unstoppable against these unranked opponents and looking so good, much better than I saw them play against Oregon. And then they play Penn State. They need those four field goals. They need that defensive touchdown. And I thought, okay, they're matched up against more even competition now. They look a little bit more like they did when I saw them at Oregon. And so I went back to thinking, okay, I'm going to honor this head-to-head. So that's why in my rankings going into this week, I had Oregon over Ohio State. But I had Cincinnati at four.
Cincinnati doesn't have, in my opinion, any more chances to improve its lot in life. All right? There's no signature win left on there.
No.
I almost feel like they need everybody out there. The attrition is their best friend.
Yeah, no, you nailed it. And it certainly didn't help that SMU and Houston weren't ranked by the committee this week. But not only do they not have those opportunities ahead of them, teams behind them do. So when you look at Michigan, you look at Oklahoma, those two teams, which are sitting right behind the Bearcats, have more opportunities down the stretch that could propel them ahead of Cincinnati as well.
Now, here's what they do have going for them. Certain things will null themselves out. Ohio State has to play Michigan State. Mm-hmm. Michigan still has to play Ohio State. They do have some people that have to play each other that will knock somebody back. Mm-hmm. I think that the attrition is their best friend.
Yeah, no, it is. And, you know, like, it's hard. It's easy to jump to conclusions right now, but this is the first of six rankings. I mean, things are going to change, and they should change. They should, based on results week to week. That's what's so different about the AP poll and this poll that people have a hard time wrapping their head around, is that it should be fluid. Eventually, it sort of settles itself out as the teams play each other more. But it wouldn't surprise me in the least if Ohio State ultimately jumped Oregon. I mean, I think they can both finish in the top four if they finish as one-loss conference champs, but no other Pac-12 team is ranked. And you look at the Buckeyes with those chances you mentioned against Michigan State and Michigan, that's better than anything the Ducks have on their resume. So we've seen head-to-head matter and then not, and I think this could be one of those cases.
Yeah, that's why I always refer to these as the weekly snapshot. Then the next one comes out next week. They're all snapshots because the playoff doesn't begin next week. So I have to ask you about the meetings taking place. I think it's in Dallas about playoff expansion. The Sports Business Journal is reporting that the Alliance Group, Big Ten, ACC, Pac-12, I won't get into my opinion of the Alliance. We'll just leave that out for the moment. Okay. Is favoring an 18 playoff, which if that's the case, number one, Notre Dame won't vote for it. And number two, you don't get any money from it because ESPN already has all those bowl games locked up until 25.
So I'm standing in the hallway here at where these meetings are, and all the commissioners just went behind a giant closed door. And tonight after dinner here is when they'll get into that playoff discussion. Look, when you're talking about 10 FBS commissioners and Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swoop, it's much easier to convince two or three people to change their minds than it is the other nine people, right? So everyone also has to remember that it takes one person. And at the end of the day, we're talking about their university presidents and chancellors who have the power to change this thing. It takes one president to say, I don't agree with this, and it doesn't happen. So I'll be surprised if they come out of these meetings tonight, tomorrow, in agreement on something, but I'm here just in case they do.
Right, so let me bring this up. Every athletic department in Power 5 last year, and this is not, I mean, I'm making an assumption, but I think it's a very strong assumption. Every athletic department, when fiscal year numbers come out from last year, will have lost eight figures apiece. Doesn't money eventually come into this to get people to say yes, because the only way to do it is to close the gap financially?
Well, if they don't do this, it is a fact that they will leave a lot of money on the table. Buku bucks, right? The question is, why? You know, what is it that they so firmly believe in that is worth not going after that $200 million or $400 million, whatever it is? Does it close the gap because of the deficits that happened during the pandemic? It can, but it can go well beyond that as well.
Oh, boy. Are you surprised? Because it seemed something that looked really good in the spring. Now, I know Oklahoma and Texas came into this. I got that. But are you surprised that we're at this point now and they didn't lock it up?
I am. I thought by September they had that meeting in Chicago. I was there for it. I booked a flight well before the meeting thinking that something was actually going to happen, and it didn't. And yes, the events of this summer played a significant role in that. So does the fact that there are three new commissioners, fairly new. I mean, George Kliavkoff of the Pac-12, obviously, Jim Phillips in his first year at the ACC, Kevin Warren took over 2019. Last year was his real first year, so he took over like January, February 2019. So three new faces in Power 5 positions, that's a big deal. That's a very big deal. And so that all plays in a role with different personalities as well.
Good point. Okay, so do you feel like giving a best guess? Do they eventually get to 12 in this? Not today or tomorrow, but do they eventually get to that or not?
Yeah, I think they do. I think everybody knows the way this story ends. That's why I think, you know, a lot of people are kind of surprised and frustrated that it's taken so long to get there. Jack Swarbrick, Notre Dame's athletic director, told me on the record about a month ago, and I printed this, that the playoff is going to expand to 12 teams eventually. How and when is anybody's guess. I don't know if all 11 people share that opinion, but clearly they don't. Otherwise, this thing would be done by now. But there have people gone on the record and said that's where it's headed. So it seems like it's just a matter of time.
Well, four of them do.
So yeah.
We know four do. We can name them.
Yeah.
Craig Thompson, Bob Bowlesby, Sankey, and Swarbrick. They seem to agree on it.
That's right. They created it. They're the ones who spent a year and a half putting this thing together. I think they're going through the motions and hearing everybody out. But, you know, it seems like they've got to bring everybody else along at their own pace. And you know, to be fair, those four people had a year and a half to digest this.
That's right.
When this came out in the summer, this is in the laps of people for the first time, right? So, there is truth, and you've got to go back to your leagues and say, what do you guys think about this? Right. You got to ask your coaches, your ADs, your presidents, and that was what the summer was supposed to be for, and it was. But at the same time, you got the OU, Texas, SEC, and then all of the expansion dominoes that followed, and here we are.
Well, I'll let you go back to work. You do great work, and, you know, it's something we talk about journalism all the time. You are a true journalist. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That means more to me than you'll ever know. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Heather. And it's a fact. You are.
Thank you.
All right.
Take care.